Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Chapter 2, Song of Solomon, Chapter 2. If you don't mind, I'm going to sit probably most of the morning. I woke up today and was a little lightheaded. Probably means there's not a whole lot up there. And anyway, I feel like I've been swaying. Someone says, well, you know the reason for that? Because the wind stopped blowing and you don't have to compensate for it anymore. So, you know, I'm used to compensating for the wind. So, but we are glad you've joined us. We are in our series, the second week of a series called It's Complicated, Love, Sex, Dating, and Marriage. And we began last week when we talked about the Jerry Maguire myth. The Jerry Maguire myth says, you complete me. Or as the Joker said to Batman, you complete me, you know. And the myth is that we need somebody, we need a romantic relationship in our life to love us and accept us before we are complete and whole and can have a satisfying, fulfilled life. That is a myth. We looked at how nobody can make us happy. You and I are completely responsible for our own happiness. It's not my wife's job. It's not your husband's job. It's not our children's job. It's not our boss's job. It's no one's job to make us happy. We are responsible for our own happiness. We saw how that true happiness really only comes from being with God. There is fullness of joy in His presence. And we need Him. There is no perfect person that is going to come into our lives and fill that void. Only God can fill us. When we are fully into God, passionately pursuing a relationship with Jesus Christ, then we are complete in Him. God has given us everything we need for completeness. We find completeness when we're after Jesus. The title of this morning's message is called Ladies and Gentlemen. I want to talk about this morning about treating women like ladies and how us as men can be gentlemen, because in our society, treating a woman like a lady is a very rare thing. By the way, the outline for the message today comes from Pastor Aaron Graham, who pastors District Church in Washington, D.C., and the outline comes from this. But we have a huge problem in our culture today where we do not value and esteem women. It's with how we as men treat and view the members of the female sex. And so we want to talk about this morning because increasingly more and more and more, as you watch television, as you go to movies, as you listen to music, everywhere we go, the advertisements, Madison Avenue, women are treated like products. Women are treated like products. A product is something that is compared with other things. Okay, I like this one over that one. A product is something that we compare. It's something that a consumer buys because it gives him the greatest satisfaction, the greatest personal enjoyment. And then when he's done with it, he just discards it and he goes to the next best, latest, greatest thing that comes along. In our society, that's how women are treated quite a bit. Yeah, I will buy her and consume her until she doesn't please me anymore. Then I'll get rid of her and I'll go after the next one that will make me feel happy. And so we want to talk about how do we honor women biblically today? Because this problem is not a new thing. It has been around since the beginning of time. In fact, Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve sinned. They were one. They had the perfect relationship. They sin. And you come to Genesis chapter 4, one chapter later, verse 19, and you see that Lamech takes two wives. His first wife was called Ada, which means ornament. One pastor, Adrian Rogers, said her name meant boy toy. Can you imagine parents naming their daughter boy toy? Something to play with? The other wife's name was Zillah, which meant shadow. She stood in the shadow of her husband. He was over her. And already in one chapter from the fall of man into sin, We see this attitude of women being possessions, boy toys, ornaments, something to make me look good, something you stand in my shadow, I am over you. Instead of being one flesh, being an equal partner, heirs together in the grace of God, that God's design for a relationship between a man and woman is out the door one chapter later. It continues all the way through the Bible, throughout world history. You see it in Solomon, as we're going to take a look. In Solomon's time, women were treated as property. Many times they were used to seal the deal in political alliances or trade agreements or business deals. In the Roman and the Greek cultures, women's not only were viewed as property, they were property. Prostitution was legal and encouraged in the Roman society. In Jesus' time, it was very prevalent. People also owned slaves. The richer you were, the more people you had. They owned both male and female slaves, and you could do whatever you wanted to them in any kind of way. So you have female slaves, you could do whatever you wanted with them. You could even kill your slave and not have any legal repercussion because they were your property and they were not viewed as people. And so we see this going on. And things became so bad in the Roman Empire that certain parts, they made it a law that men had to get married. Because the problem was becoming so bad, because a lot of men, they didn't want to get married. The cost of raising kids, they didn't want it. And so they, instead of having a family, many men wouldn't get married. Those that were married, they used prostitution as a form of birth control. And so this whole idea of using women for one's gratification has been around since the beginning of time. How do we, in our society that is so full of this attitude of women are property, how do we treat women biblically? How do we honor ladies? My hope today is that when we are finished with this message this morning, all of us will be people that treat each other with honor. Everyone, but especially in particular women. Now, let's take a look in your notes. First of all, there's two principles to honoring people. I'm going to apply these, hone this more in on honoring women, but these principles apply to honoring people. The first one is the amount of honor is determined by the level of value you perceive. The amount of honor given is determined by the level of value that we perceive. You see, the key word honor here, it means to value, respect, highly esteem, to treat as precious, weighty, or valuable. Now, what's the opposite of honor? Dishonor. Dishonor means to treat something as common or ordinary. It means something can be discarded, it's easily devalued, and it's thrown away. And what has happened is in our society, we think sometimes that we can grow up and we've got all these bad habits, but when we get married, all of a sudden, bam, I am now going to honor my wife. Well, if I have been a person of dishonor, dishonoring women my whole life, getting married is not going to wave a magic wand over me and instantaneously change me. And honor comes from how much value do I perceive in the other person. If I see value in them, then I will treat them with honor and dignity. Let's look in Solomon. And the context of this, Solomon is a book of love. It's a love story between a man and a woman. We're told in verse 1, it's Solomon's love story. And it's interesting. I mean, last week we talked about Solomon had a few wives. How many wives did he have? Anyone remember? 700. 700 wives and 300 concubines. This story is about maybe one of the only, or one of the few, maybe it was the only love relationship he had. Because for Solomon, many of his relationships, many of his marriages were entered into because they were political alliances with other nations. Some maybe even his father had him enter into. He says, I'll give my son, you give your daughter. We make this agreement so that we can establish prosperity and peace for our nations. And so this is a story between Solomon and a young lady. We don't know her name, but she's called the Shulamite. Solomon is described as the beloved. And so here is the story of Solomon. And this is interesting. This lady was a poor countrywoman. Take a look at chapter 1, verse 6. It says, "Do not look upon me, because I am dark. The sun has tanned me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept." She's a poor countrywoman. Only the poorest people worked outside. What's kind of funny is that nowadays, I mean, everybody wants a tan, huh? Everybody wants a tan. You go lay out, you go to the tanning salon, got to get a tan. Back in Bible times, having a tan was a bad thing. If you had fair skin, I mean, the whiter, the better. Okay? The whiter you were, the pale, you know, the more pale you were, the better. Because that meant you were indoors. You were upper class. You were privileged. But she had to work outside. She says, "My brothers hated me. They forced me to work outside." And so she was a poor countrywoman, and yet she was beautiful because in verse 5 she says, "I am dark but lovely." She has a good esteem about herself. But in verse 6 at the end she says, "I haven't kept my own garden. I've been able to keep up my own appearance." And so she realizes that by the standards of society, I am not there. But Solomon, who is the richest king in all the history of Israel, who everybody loved, in fact, in verse 3, take a look at chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love you." All the young single gals in Israel, all of her friends, "Oh, Solomon, you're so handsome." They all liked him. They were all attracted to him. Everybody wanted Solomon. He's rich. He's handsome. He's powerful. He has prestige. He is the object of every girl's dreams. And Solomon could have, and well, he did eventually have any woman he wanted, but there is something that takes place with this young lady that he takes a poor country girl and makes her his bride. And this song that we see, if you read it all the way through, he elevates her and gives her incredible honor. Our text, we're going to start in chapter 2, verse 2. Solomon is speaking. He says, "Like a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters." Now, Solomon says his bride to be is a lily among thorns. Compared to everyone else, she's a beautiful flower, and everyone else is just thistle bushes. Okay? How many of you have ever seen those beautiful, I believe they're Canadian thistles, the ones with the purple flowers on them? Aren't those just lovely bushes? And he says, "You are a lily among the thistle bushes." Think of that picture. Guys, I want to ask you, how do you view women? Married guys, how do you view women? When you go to the mall, the grocery store, go to get gas, you're out walking on a bike trail, something like that, do you see flower beds full of lilies? Wow, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Or do you say, "Man, these are all thistles. My lily's back home." How do we view women? You see, Solomon said, "You are the one. You are a beautiful flower." Lilies were rare flowers. Lilies and roses were rare in the Middle East. They only bloomed for a short time. They had great value. And he says, "You have great value. You're a lily and everyone else is a thorn. My eyes are for you only." Wow. What a commentary. What a goal. And you see, this is the thing. A lot of guys, when we are single, when we're in high school and college and we're growing up, "Look at that flower. Look 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 at that flower." And then when we get married, we have a habit of looking at all the flowers of the field. And God says, "No, you only have one flower of the field." And so we need to be very careful, men, about what we do if we are looking them at as flowers instead of as sisters. Because they are our sisters. Every woman is your sister. Have you thought of that? Every woman is your sister. Why? Because we all have the same father. God is our father. He's the father of us all. And so women are not objects. They're not property. We need to honor them and treat them with respect. That's what Solomon did. Take a look at verse 4. Here's something else about the honor that Solomon gave to the Shulamite. Actually, this is the Shulamite speaking. She says, "Let Solomon lead me to the banquet hall, and let his banner over me be love." The banquet hall was a house of wine, a house of feasting. And this is where Solomon entertained royalty. He entertained the most prestigious, the highest ranking people in the nation. He wanted to honor someone. He brought them to the banquet hall. It was filled with gold. It was an incredibly exquisitely beautiful place. And by Solomon bringing the Shulamite to the banquet hall, he is saying how valued and how honored she is. She is at the top. And she says, "I am here, and his banner over me is love." Have you ever been in a place that was so rich and lavish you just kind of felt out of place, like a duck out of water? I remember when I was in high school, we went to Washington, D.C. We took a tour of the White House, very ornate. And I was like, "Man, this is cool, but this just feels foreign. I don't feel like I belong here." But Solomon's bride-to-be, because of his banner of love over her, she felt comfortable as a poor country girl in this banquet hall. She said, "Let him lead me." She's saying, "No, Solomon, I don't want to go. You know, I don't feel comfortable." She says, "No, you can lead me. I will allow you to do this," because that's the kind of security and the worth and honor that she had. And as a banner, banners were used to mark things, to designate things. They marked the possession of which army you belong to. You looked at the banner, you knew this army belongs to this king. Kings many times had several residences, and when they were at that residency, they would put their banner up saying, "This is the house I'm in right now." And the Shulamite is saying, "Solomon's love is a banner. I have walked into this building. Everybody knows he's with me. We've arrived together. We're going to leave together. His banner over me is love," and she has an incredible value that was placed upon her by him. We need to have that same kind of value and honor towards women. I remember when I was in Bible college, I was an upperclassman. I don't remember if I was a junior or a senior, but they had college days, and for college days, they always brought in a big band, had a concert, brought in a great speaker, and it was a time of recruiting. And my sister, who was still in high school, came to college days. Well, it's about 10:30 at night, and I heard from somebody, "Hey, Mellendorf, did you know your sister is out with so-and-so?" Now, this guy was a jerk. He was a womanizer. He used girls. He talked about his exploits with them. He talked about it before, when he first came out, all the girls he had back home. And he talked about how far he could go with the girls that were in college. Here's something. Young people, if you go to a Christian college or any college, just because someone goes to a Christian college doesn't make them a Christian. Just because they go to church all the time doesn't make them a Christian. You have to evaluate them. Some of the biggest jerks out there go to Bible college and go to a Christian college. When I was a youth pastor, there was a girl in my youth group. She married a guy whose parents had grown up Assembly of God, but what they didn't tell her is that he was an abuser. He had an anger problem, and he hit her, and he abused her. You just can't go blindly in and say, "Oh, they go to church, so they're a good Christian." You need to really, really examine things out. How do they honor you? How do they honor their parents? How do they honor other people? Look at those things. Anyway, my sister, I found out she's out with this guy. And when I heard that, I said, "Where is he? Where is he? If he does anything to her, I'm going to kill him." I mean, I said that. I was, you know, protective brother. How many of you are big brothers here? Big brothers, you know, yeah, you protect your sister. How many know what I'm talking about? You hurt my sister, you got to deal with me, all right? And my bat and my gun and everything else, you know. Guys, that same value of protecting your sister, that's the same value God wants you and I to have for every woman in the world. That we will protect her honor and her dignity. She is not a flower of the field for you and I to look in the pick. She is a daughter of God, his special treasure. And God would go to great lengths to protect her, and as his sons and her brother, God is asking you and I to do the same thing. And for us to honor women, we have to put that kind of a value on them. You are highly esteemed. You are a daughter of God. You're a sister. In fact, Solomon, elsewhere in this, he says, "My love, my sister." He saw her as a sister, and he did not take advantage of her because that was the view that he had. So honor given is determined by value perceived. Let's go to point number two in your notes. When you honor something, you protect it. When you honor something, you protect it. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 7. The Shulamite says, "Daughters of Jerusalem," she's speaking to her virgin friends here. She says, "I charge you, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires." You know, the Shulamite's saying, "Oh, I love to be honored." She talks about wanting to go to bed with her husband-to-be. She acknowledges that as a desire, but she says, "Do not fulfill that desire before it is time." And this is the thing, as you get into a relationship and you're dating, it feels great to be loved and to be honored, but we have to make sure that we are setting boundaries. Guys, we need to take the initiative, but girls, you have boundaries too. Do not let a guy overstep the bounds. If he does, think seriously about the relationship. That's why accountability is so important, to be accountable. And so many times, as Christian dads, we need to be more involved in the relationships of our kids. Every dad here, if you have girls that are still unmarried, I encourage you to get, this is a must-read book. It's by Dennis Rainey, How to Interview Your Daughter's Dates. Okay? You laugh, but I tell you, it's a great book. It's very practical. I put it into practice. I didn't go as far as he did. He has a bat in his office. And that's a funny story about that. But how to interview your daughter's dates, protecting that honor, because if you establish things up front and you get the ability to speak into the relationship, if the young man, you say, "Do I have permission to speak with you about the relationship with my daughter at any time?" Then you can talk to him anytime about anything. And you don't have to bring it up later. And sometimes we're afraid to do that as dads. When I've done that, I've been sweating bullets. "God, I don't want to do this." But that's my job as a protector. That's our jobs as protectors. Okay. Peter, actually, first I want to talk about Jesus. Jesus valued women. The lady at the well, she was an outcast by society. Jesus came and talked to her, and he elevated her. When the woman caught in adultery came, everyone else was ready to kill her. And Jesus said, "You have a future. You're worth something. You're valuable. Don't sin anymore, but you have value and honor before God." This is what Dorothy Sayers said about Jesus and how he valued women. It says, "Perhaps it is no wonder women were the first at the cradle and last at the cross. They had never known a man like this. There never has been such another, a prophet, a teacher who never nagged them, never flattered or coaxed or patronized, who never made sick jokes about women, who rebuked without quarreling, praised without condescension, who took women's questions and arguments seriously, who never mapped out a certain sphere for them, who never urged them to be feminine or jeered at them for being female, who had no axe to grind, no uneasy male dignity to defend, who took women as he found them and was completely unself-conscious. There was no act, no sermon, no parable in the whole gospel that borrows its point or pungency from female perversity. Nobody can get from the words and deeds of Jesus that there was anything funny or inferior about women." Jesus valued women. It's little wonder Peter walked with Jesus and what he wrote about women. In 1 Peter 3:7, he says, "Husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." The word vessel is a jar or a container. Now, we have lots of different containers that we use things for. Here is a plastic bucket full of nails. I went in our supply room and I found it just sitting there here at the church. And there's some candy wrappers and there's some dirt in there and the nails are kind of rusty. You can just kind of see, I mean, this bucket doesn't have a lot of value. That's maybe why it was sitting in the corner. This is a vessel. That's one kind of vessel. But there's other kind of vessels also, like this crystal stemware right here. This is a vessel also. I didn't find this on the floor in the corner of a supply room. I found this in our china hutch, on display, away from the clutter, away from where it can get knocked over or anything, clean, nice, and beautiful. And when Peter says, husbands, your wives are the weaker vessel, he's not saying that they're inferior. He is saying that they have a greater value. What has more value, the bucket or the glass? This glass is beautiful, it's priceless. The bucket is just dirty and it's sitting there. And Peter says, men, your wives are crystal stemware. Your wives, treat them delicately. Handle them carefully. I wrapped it in a towel, stuck it in the middle of my briefcase, not on the outside when I came to church, because I was protecting this. I carefully unwrapped it. The bucket, man, I can do anything to the bucket. I can drop it. I don't drop this because it has a great value and a great honor. And men, how do we treat women? Like at a bucket of bolts or like stemware? Peter says, honor your wives because they are partners together in the grace. They are equal with you. They're your partner. And if you don't honor them, God doesn't answer your prayers. Wow. Have you been fighting in your life spiritually, feeling like God's not answering? Are you honoring your wife? That's a good question to ask. We need to be men that honor and value women. And the thing is, if I haven't been practicing that as a single, I won't do it when I'm married. It starts with where I am right now. You teenage boys, it starts with you right now. Brothers, it starts with you. Not pummeling and punching your sisters, not calling them names. Now, sisters, it goes both ways. You don't get a free pass. I had a little sister, okay? I know what they can do. They can be devious. They can be devious. My mom tells a story how, I mean, I was always getting in trouble. My sister's only a year old. Hope it's okay, sis. She listens to this on the podcast. Mom, you know, about a half hour, 15 minutes before dinner comes, right before dad comes home, wah! Craig, leave your sister alone! And it just went on for weeks. Finally, my mom decided to go watch. Well, I'd be playing. My sister came and took something from me, little one-year-old. And, you know, and then I'd take it back and she'd start bawling. Mom walked in, applied biblical discipline to her, and the look on her face, I mean, she couldn't believe that she had gotten it, you know. So, hey, moms, dads, just realize it goes both ways. Sisters, respect your brothers. Brothers, honor your sisters. But it starts when we're young, and it's something we need to work on. I want to give you some practical steps. So, by the way, ladies, if you want to be honored, treat yourself with honor. Dress modestly and appropriately. If you dress in a way that men will treat you like property, though they will treat you like property. And those are not the guys you want to attract, okay? You want to attract a gentleman. And so don't show too much cleavage. Wear appropriate length skirts. We're told in 1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner also, let the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation. In our society, it is not uncommon to see some very inappropriate things, okay? So ladies, dress like a woman of honor if you want to receive honor. Okay, two practical steps to honoring women. Number one, be careful, guys, what we listen to. Be careful of what we listen to. What you allow in our ears. If there's anything on our playlist, anything on our CD player, our computer, or our phone that has music in our ears that is repetitively objectifying women, treating them like property, calling them a whore or a bee or anything else that's derogatory, delete that from your playlist. Because what you put into you impacts. You say, oh, I'm mature, I'm disciplined, I don't have to give into that. Friends, do you realize that every genocide that has taken place, that every time there's been a mass campaign to destroy a certain class of people or slavery, it all began by dehumanizing the person with the label? In Rwanda, the Hutus called the Tutsis cockroaches. And because they were cockroaches, we can just stomp them and eradicate them. We can treat them however. And in 1 year, 1 million Tutsis died because they were just cockroaches. In Nazi Germany, the Jews called the Jewish ladies whores. They called all the Jewish people rats. And because they dehumanized them and put a label on them, 6 million Jews perished under the Holocaust of Hitler. African Americans have been called the N-word. And we justified slavery. Some even said that they weren't real humans. That they were a subspecies. They were not created in the image of God. And that has been used to justify slavery. Friends, as followers of Jesus Christ, every single person on the planet, red and yellow, black and white, male and female, old and young, needy, poor, hurting, destitute, prostitute, drug dealer, addict, whatever it is, every person is created in the image of God and deserves honor because they're just one decision away from becoming our brother or sister in Jesus Christ. And so we need to be careful about what we are playing. You might say, well, hey, from my neighborhood where I grew up, that's just how we talk. We call women a bee. We call them a whore. That's just natural. Don't do it. Because that is not giving honor that God has ascribed to them. Be careful what you listen to. Number two, be careful with what we see. Be careful with what we see. Romans chapter 12 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Guys, if we're going to start thinking differently about women, we need to start seeing them differently. So we have to protect the eye gate, what we're letting into our lives. Some Christian guys think that looking at pornography, or what I call almost porn, is okay. You know what almost porn is? Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition. They're not totally naked, but they're close. And a lot of Christian guys think that looking at porn or almost porn is okay. And friends, it's not. When you look at pornography, when you look at scantily clad women, you are enrolling yourself in school. This school is open 365, 24/7, all the time of the year. They offer an online course. You can go online. You can buy it in magazines at the store. And in this course, the thing about this course, it's so easy to find, and in many cases, it's absolutely free. You don't have to pay anything for it. You don't even have to leave your house. And now, with your smartphone and your laptop, you can take it with you everywhere you go. It can be your constant companion. And what this school does, it will teach you to view women in an inappropriate way. It'll teach you three things. Write these down, guys. It'll teach you, number one, that a real body is not good enough. A real body is not good enough. Number two, it teaches you that one body is not good enough. You need many to satisfy you. And number three, it teaches you that your wife's body is not good enough. You need someone else to satisfy you. A real body is not good enough. One body is not good enough. Your wife's body is not good enough. And this is the thing. If you want to enjoy romantic relationships later on in life, you need to disenroll from this school. Okay? There may be some of you today, you need to go home and you need to disenroll off your computer, off your smartphone. You might need to clean some magazines out from underneath the bed or up in the attic or get rid of some videos. And that even goes for some rated R movies that are pornographic. Hey, we got to be honest. We got to look at what we're doing with our lives, because we're allowing things in and they cause us to either honor or dishonor members of the opposite sex. Pornography will not satisfy you. Researchers, non-Christian researchers, have studied the effects of pornography on the brain, and they say that exposure to erotic imagery kills your desire for real women. It kills your desire for real women. And there's some guys that think, hey, I can pig out on porn now, and when I get married, I'll get rid of it, I'll be okay. Friends, if you want to enjoy your marriage, then you need to disenroll from that school now, because pornography makes you not satisfied with your wife and with a real relationship, a real person. The flesh is never satisfied. We learned that last week with Solomon. 700 wives, 300 concubines. If you're looking at every flower of the field, they will not satisfy. Only when you say, Jesus, I'm passionately pursuing a relationship with you, honoring your standards, which tell me to honor women, then will you have a meaningful, fulfilling sexual relationship with the woman that God is for you to marry. They say that 8 out of 10 guys look at porn. 8 out of 10 guys look at porn. I was in the third grade at a friend's house. I didn't know what they were doing. They broke out pornography. That was my first exposure to it. I didn't get caught up in it, but I know some kids that did get caught up in it and became addicts to it. Dads, you have little boys in your house. They might find it. Do you want someone doing to your daughters what you're doing to them? And it's not just magazines, but sometimes as men, we mentally undress women. We look them over. Wow, she's got a cute back end. Man, she's got a great front side. Be careful what you let into your eyes. Be careful with what you see. Jesus said, if anyone looks at a woman lustfully, you have committed adultery with her. I've known Christian guys who say, oh, when I see a beautiful woman, I just say, oh, thank you, Lord, for your creation. Men, she's a thorn. You only have one lily. Train your eyes. Single guys, train your eyes, train your ears. Begin to apply these principles of honor. And you know what's going to happen? You see, gentlemen are a rare commodity in America today. And you single guys, as you begin to develop and become a man of honor, you're going to have a lot of girls that want you, because they want to be treated with respect and love and dignity. And God is calling all of us to treat everyone with respect and honor and dignity. Musicians, would you come? I first want to start out, as we close this morning, with kind of a general appeal. Do you value everybody? I want you just to begin to think about the people in your life. If you're married, are you valuing your spouse? Are there times you say wrong things to them? I was getting ready, I was going over this message yesterday, and God said, you got to go talk to your wife because you did something that dishonored her on Friday. So when I got home from the office, I had to apologize to my wife. Hey, I'm still learning and growing too. And there's times in the heat of the moment we say something or do something we shouldn't do. We need to make that right. When we're wrong, we need to make things right with our spouse, with our kids. Maybe there's someone at work we've dishonored. We've been disrespectful. We've spoken negatively. I'm not talking sexually. I'm not talking about lust right now. I'm just talking about our conduct and how we treat people. I want everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes this morning. I want you just to examine your lives right now. And is the Lord showing you anybody that you have dishonored in any way? A brother, a sister, a parent, a child, a spouse, a a coworker, someone here in the church this morning, I encourage you, if you have wronged them, go to them and ask for forgiveness. If they know that you have hurt them, make it right. Be a man, be a woman, and be a person of honor. There may be some of you here today, you've got stereotypes against certain kinds of people. People of race, people of a certain social class. You kind of look down on them, you don't see them, you see yourself as being more important and better than them. If we have that kind of spirit, that's the elder brother spirit at work. And we need to get rid of that in our lives. How many here today would say, Craig, I want God to help me to be a person of honor. There's things in my life I want to do a better job of honoring people, seeing them as God's creation. Just put your hand up this morning if you want to be a person of honor, treating people the way God wants them to be treated. Just put your hand up this morning. See those hands. There may be some of you here today and you'd say, you know, I've been looking at ladies like boy toys. I've treated them as property. Maybe you're into pornography, maybe you're not. But you know this morning that God wants you to be a man of honor, whether you're single or married. Guys, if that's you, I just want you right now, if you want to be a man of honor towards all women, I'd like you as a man to raise your hand and say, I'm going to be a man of honor to every woman I see. Just lift your hand up, guys. Last thing I want to say is, you may find yourself here this morning and you've done some things that have dishonored you and you feel ashamed, you feel not worthy. Friends, I want you to know you have a God, a Father in heaven who loves you. And He wants to cleanse you, and He wants to forgive you, and that the cross is as real today as it was 2,000 years ago, and Jesus wants to give you a future and a hope. There may be some of you here today, you've had dishonor in your marriages. Maybe it's been in words, maybe it's been with someone of the opposite sex, maybe it's been pornography, but friends, today, God wants to bring your marriage back together. He wants you to forgive and let go of bitterness. He wants you to let go of the sin, of some of the addictions that you've had. And God wants you as a couple to be united. And He can do that today. If you're married right now, I want you to reach out and take the hand of your spouse. If they're here this morning, I want you just to begin to pray for each other right now. Pray that God wouldn't change them, but God would change you so that you could give them honor. Oh, Jesus, we come to You this morning, and Your grace is here, and Your love and Your acceptance. You placed worth on us when You died on the cross. We thank You for that value and that honor, that we who were enemies are now sons and daughters. We are the bride of Christ, and You laid Your life down, and You've never spoken derogatorily about us. You've never done anything to shame us or embarrass us. Father, I pray that we would take that love that we have, and as men and as women, we would give that love and that honor to all. God, forgive us if we have dishonored brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, saved and unsaved. Forgive us, God, for stereotyping. God, change our hearts. Help us to renew our minds and to see the value You give people. Lord, forgive us of our sin. If we have hurt others, help us to go and make it right. Father, forgive us, Lord, for sexual sin. Lord, forgive us for pornography this morning. Forgive us for lusting. Forgive us for affairs. Forgive us for homosexuality. Forgive us for infidelity. Lord, I pray that if there's any relationships that need amending, that you will begin to mend. God, you'll open up conversation between husbands and wives, that they could be real. Lord, that forgiveness would flow, that honor would flow, that life would flow, that the works of Satan would be destroyed in marriages. I pray for singles this morning and singles again. God, that you would help them just to see that you love them and honor them. They are complete in you, and help them to become men and women that honor others. Jesus, we thank you for your love and your faithfulness to us, that you never leave us. But Lord, you've seated us in heavenly places. You've brought us into that banquet hall. And Lord, that banner over us is love. And we praise you for that. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.